JTP Theatre presents Bite-Sized Plays with The Cold, written by Tony DeMail. Ladies, man flu really is a thing.
Apparently, Derek felt the end was near. He whined that the cold seemed to have pervaded his bones and started to eat at his heart. He thought this was what it was like to be dying. He accepted that his life wasn't flashing before his eyes, and he could see no bright light calling him, but declared that if this was the end, he thought it a truly miserable one. I'd heard it all before, but not as loudly as he had the television, so I yelled, "Will you turn that TV down? What will the neighbours think?" Derek sniffed. I could see he was thinking about arguing that his ears were blocked and, if he turned the volume down, he wouldn't be able to hear Top Gear. But I think he remembered the end was near, so perhaps it didn't matter. "I'm cold," he shouted. I leaned on the lounge doorway. "You're cold. You're hot. The heating's been on and off, on and off." "You do realise I'm dying," said Derek. "I might kill you if you don't stop moaning," I said. "You've got a cold." "It's too bad to be a cold." I rolled my eyes. "From memory, you have survived near-death experiences just about every winter of our marriage. I think you'll be fine." Derek told me he thought that a very unfair comment. Hadn't he been so ill I'd had to bring him meals on a tray, fetch him distractions like newspapers and books and DVDs, and regularly bring him hot drinks to accompany all the medication that he was taking, but that did no good? I went off back to the kitchen, and then he yelled he'd caught a waft of the smell of cakes baking, even with his stuffed-up nose. He now thought that was evidence of the start of his recovery, and said he was going to take a nap, confident that he probably wouldn't die in his sleep. By the weekend, Derek was feeling great. The aches and pains were gone. He could breathe through his nose. His ears were clear, and there was no more swallowing broken glass. "Great news," said Derek, as he sat at the breakfast table. I sneezed. "Oh, I'm better," he said. I coughed, winced, and wiped my hand across my damp brow. "Bully for you." Derek looked at me. He would never be brave enough to tell me I don't look my best in the morning. But even given that history, I looked particularly bad. My face was waxen, there were dark rings under my eyes, and my nose was red. Beads of sweat were breaking out on my forehead, and even my hair looked under the weather. "You okay, love?" he asked. I shook my head. "Have a cup of tea," he said. "That'll make you feel better." I said, "Can you get me a couple of paracetamol?" When Derek told me he had used the last of them, I closed my eyes and shook my head. 40 tablets in 4 days was a minor overdose, but typical of him. And it was also typical of him when he suggested I could pick some more up when I went shopping. "Or you could go and buy me some," I said. Derek looked doubtful. "I'm not sure I'm ready to venture out, Anne. I've just been really unwell." I stood up. I picked up the milk jug from the table. Without a word, I walked round behind Derek and poured the contents over his head. Then I declared I could be found in bed if anyone needed me, but that the invitation definitely didn't extend to him unless it was to bring me cold remedies. When I'd gone, I imagined Derek gingerly took a tea towel to his head and milk-soaked jumper. He probably worried that the cold milk over his head could trigger influenza or worse. He probably feared that being forced to go to the shops would bring about a relapse. And he probably wondered how I could be as cruel as to be playing so fast and loose with his tenuous health. Frankly, I didn't care. Half an hour later, Derek stepped cautiously into our bedroom with 2 paracetamol in one hand and a black tea in the other. Apparently, it wasn't his fault we were out of milk. I opened my eyes when he entered and closed them again with a disappointed sigh. "Anne," said Derek,
What?
I got your tablets, but I just wanted to say how disappointed I am with how you've ignored how poorly I've been.
I opened my eyes. Really?
What do you think I'm doing in bed at 11 in the morning, Derek? I'm being unwell, I said. But when I'm unwell, I'm not watching TV at 90 decibels, demanding chicken soup, engaging in a drugs banquet, or asking for the last rites. When you're unwell, it's carnage. When I'm unwell, I do it quietly and without the circus you bring.
Oh, said Derek.
When I spoke again, I could see Derek wasn't sure if it was a high temperature or anger turning my face that shade of red. I run around after you, pandering to your hypochondria, but the minute I go under, your response is to put me on convalescence duties for you and send me shopping. Well, I've had enough.
Oh, said Derek again.
I then told Derek I would be staying in bed for at least the day, and if meals weren't prepared, housework done, and nursing duties at least attempted, I would murder him and save him the bother of ever contracting another lethal virus. All that was over a year ago. Today, Derek has a cold again, but you wouldn't know apart from the odd inadvertent sniff. Today, he is fortitude personified and weathers any ill health with uncomplaining heroism. But that's not the only thing that's changed. Having lived a life in fear of germs and disease, Derek is now far more afraid of my wrath, and it's done us both the world of good.
Listening to The Cold featuring Lynn Cartledge, with thanks to freesfx.co.uk for sound effects and music. You can follow JTP Theatre on Facebook and Instagram, and we'll be back with more next Tuesday on Thornbury Radio.